Good morning. In some ways, it feels like it's been a very long time since I was here. In other ways, it feels like it could just be last week. I know that in many ways, the last, year and a half or so has been difficult for the congregation here, not having a regular preacher. But it seems like to me that, you know, from when I left to being back here again, it seems like I've seen a lot of growth. And I think that's been caused by people having to step up, people having to maybe go a little bit beyond their comfort zone. And I'm glad for that. But I was also glad to hear last night that that Brother Kyle and his family will be moving here soon. I've known Kyle for a while. I've never actually heard him preach, but I guess the connection we have, mostly besides being at some Bible studies together, is that last year we were at a study together, and he had to go to a funeral, and he had to borrow my car for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. So that's the connection that makes this all a very small world. Go ahead and get out your Bible. As I was preparing for this lesson, I knew that I wanted it to be about knowledge. I knew that I wanted it to be about knowing. And so I was trying to decide how would I approach that. Because the Bible talks a lot about knowledge and about knowing. So I thought, well, maybe we'll do a study and look at all the ways that knowing is used in the Old Testament and look at all the ways it's used in the New Testament. Well, it turns out that would be a very, very long sermon. So I decided not to do that. And then I thought, well, maybe we'll just look at the New Testament and do sort of a word study, because there are several different words that are used in Greek that are translated as knowledge or knowing. And so I looked through all that, and it turns out when you do a word study of that, some of these terms that are translated to know in Greek, it turns out when you really drill down on that, it turns out they actually mean to know. So we're still going to look at knowledge. We're still going to look at knowing. There are many things that we should know. There are many things that are vital, absolutely vital for us to know. There are things that we have to know about Jesus Christ. We have things that we have to know, that we must know about Christ's work. We need to know how he has the authority to forgive sins. We could go all through the Gospels, all through the New Testament, in fact, and look at that. He has the authority to give us freedom from sin. He has the authority to take away our sin. We need to know that we're redeemed with the blood of Christ. We need to know that we're baptized into his death and that our old self is crucified. We need to know that we're saved by Christ. And we could go on and on and on about all these things that are vital, that are essential for us to know. But simply having that knowledge, it doesn't matter a bit if we don't do something with it. Some people are really good at trivia shows, maybe, at Jeopardy. Used to when I was a kid. I would go to my great-grandparents' house probably 3 or 4 days a week. We would eat lunch with them. This tells you how long ago it was, because it was when Jeopardy was on at noon. We would eat lunch with them. You know, I would eat my collard greens, my hoe cakes, and we would watch Jeopardy. And between the three of us, we could get nearly every answer on there. But you know what? We never got a single dollar from that. Knowing all those things, knowing all those answers, it didn't really affect our lives one bit. Some people have pi memorized. They have it memorized to hundreds of digits. They know it, but it has no effect on their life. It has no effect on how they live their life. It doesn't have an impact on the choices they make. So what I want us to consider this morning is what Paul writes about in Philippians chapter 3. Turn with me there to Philippians chapter 3. And we'll start in about verse 4. Verse 4 of Philippians 3. This is what Paul writes to those Christians. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained in me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, in order that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul there lists out all these things. At the beginning of that chapter, he's talking about these dogs, these evil workers, the false circumcision, these false teachers who are coming in. And then he lays out there his, we might call it his Jewish qualifications. He was saying, I can come to these people on their turf, and I can still beat them there. But I'm not going to do that because that doesn't matter. That social power, that we might say religious power, political power, all that stuff he had, his heritage, his birthright, all that didn't matter. He says in verse 8, I count all that as loss. I count all that as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things. I've given all that up. And he doesn't say, I've just given that up. I've given that up and I count it as trash. I count that as garbage in comparison to that value. That surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. So, what we're going to do this morning is we're really going to ask one question, and we're going to split it in two parts. We're going to look at two sides of it. First, we're going to consider, what does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? What does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? And then we're going to ask, what does it mean? What does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It's not just knowing who He is. It's not just knowing who He is. It's not that simple. Oh, that's Jesus. That's not what it means to know Jesus Christ. We turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Beginning of Mark's gospel. We could also look, of course, at Luke and at Acts even. But we'll look just here. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Christ has been healing. He's been casting out demons. And in verse 24, a demon speaks back to Christ. And this is what the demon says to him. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This demon, this evil spirit, he knew who Jesus was. He knew and even admitted that Christ was the Holy One of God. If we go down to verse 34 of the same chapter, the end of verse 34, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. Many people in the world believe in Jesus. I can nearly guarantee you, if you went over to Kroger or down to Walmart and just talked to a random person and asked, do you believe in Jesus? Do you know that Jesus exists? At least around here, I think practically every person we talked to would say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I know that Jesus exists. Many people in this world, they believe that Jesus exists. They believe even maybe that he did all the things that Scripture records. But they never do anything about it. They know that, but it doesn't have an impact on their lives. It doesn't affect the choices they make. It doesn't affect who they are as a person. The demons knew who he was, but that's not all knowing Jesus Christ is. What else does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It's not just knowing what God's laws are. It's not just knowing what his laws are. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Here Paul is writing to them, and he lists out all these sins, all these evil deeds. And then in verse 32, he says this. He's talking about the Gentiles here. He says, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. They know what God's righteous decrees are. They know God's laws. But they do them anyway. And beyond that, they give approval to those who practice them. We probably all have friends, maybe family, maybe it's even ourselves who are like this. We know what the Bible says. We know that it says do this or do this. It says don't do this and don't do this. But we do it anyway. Or we don't do it. Knowing what God's laws are, knowing what God says, doesn't affect the way that we live our lives. Knowing Jesus Christ is not simply knowing what God's laws are. It's not simply just having a knowledge of Scripture. What else does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It's not following only when it's convenient. It's not following when it's easy, when it's not discomforting. Well, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We're all very familiar with this story, I'm sure. But we'll look at it anyway. It's the story that's often called the story of the rich young ruler. We'll begin reading in verse 19 of Mark 10. Actually, let's go back up to verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. In verse 19, he says, "You know the commandments. You know these things." And he lists them off, and the young man said, "Not only do I know these things, I've done these things." And then Jesus tells him to do something else. One more thing. One thing you lack. This one thing you lack. Go and do this. Go and sell your goods, give it to the poor, and come follow me. He knew the commandments. He followed them. But he wasn't willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus. We can be the same way. We can be the same way. We go to services. We don't curse. We don't go to bars. You know, we go to Bible studies. We go to singings. But when something that's okay in and of itself, maybe it's a ball game, maybe it's a vacation, and I think it can even become our job at some point, when something that's okay in and of itself gets in the way of serving the Lord, we don't choose him. Knowing Jesus Christ is not following only when it's convenient. What else does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It's not just zeal. It's not just sincerity. Turn with me back to Romans, but now to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 2. Romans 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Here Paul says, these people have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to God's righteousness. Consider Paul himself. Paul says that he had lived his life with a clear conscience, with a good conscience. But you remember back when he was called Saul, he persecuted the church. He had Christians killed. He did everything in his power to destroy the Lord's church. But he was doing that because he thought he was being zealous, that he was being sincere for God. There may be many people in this world. In fact, I'm sure there are many people in this world who are sincere and zealous religiously. Maybe they are friends, maybe they are family. But if their zeal isn't for what God wants, if their zeal isn't how God wants them to have zeal, if that sincerity isn't for what God's instructions are, then it's not doing them any good. It doesn't mean that they know Jesus Christ. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. What else does it not mean to know Jesus Christ? It's not just a feeling we have. It's not just butterflies in our stomach. It's not just a buzzing feeling we have. That we, in the very words themselves, we can understand that. Knowledge is something that you know. Knowledge is something that you can have in your mind. It's not simply some feeling that comes over you. So now we have to ask the other question, the other side of the coin. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? Go with me to the Gospel of John. We'll be in the Gospel of John a pretty good bit. John chapter 8. What does it mean to know Jesus Christ? It means that when we know Him, we know the Father. When we know Him, we know the Father. John 8, beginning in verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. When we know Him, we know the Father. And when we know the Father, for us to know the Father is to have eternal life. John 17, verse 3. This is in a prayer that's shortly before His crucifixion, what's sometimes called the high priestly prayer. And in verse 5, Jesus says this. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Part of what knowing Jesus Christ is when we know Him, we know the Father. And when we know the Father, that is eternal life. For us to know Him, we know the Father. And when we know the Father, that's when we have eternal life, true life. What else does it mean to know Jesus Christ? It means that sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they follow Him. John chapter 10. When I was a kid, my dad had goats. He never would have sheep because he didn't have a very high opinion of sheep. He thinks they're dumb. And I think he's right about that. Sheep are dumb. I've made this point before. Someone got offended. They said, are you calling me dumb? Well, not exactly, but there is a point to be made here. Sheep don't know what's best for them. Sheep don't know what's good. But what sheep do know is what's important. They know how to follow the shepherd. They know how to recognize the shepherd. John 10, let's start in verse 3. John 10, beginning in verse 3. I guess it'd help if I was in John instead of Luke. John 10, verse 3. We'll go ahead and start in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. We go down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. And then we could still drop down all the way to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. They follow him. They trust the shepherd. They look to him for care. They look to the shepherd for their protection, for their needs. And they act the opposite way with a thief. But how is it that we know the shepherd's voice? How do we recognize the shepherd's voice? It's because of the scripture, because of the word that he's left us. You may run into someone who says, well, I hear the voice of Jesus just speaking to me. And again, we already talked about earlier, it's not just a feeling we have. It's what he's left us. It's what we've told him. He's told us. This is his voice. This is his message. What else does it mean to know Jesus Christ? Knowing Jesus Christ is connected with belief. It's connected with conviction. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. If you're quoting from the song, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. You have that knowledge. It's connecting with believing. Connecting with being persuaded of something. Going on from that, what else does it mean to know Jesus Christ? Very closely connected is knowing and doing are connected. Knowing and doing. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. In Titus 1, 16, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They're saying one thing, doing another. They say, I know him, I know God, I know Jesus Christ. But in their actions, they're denying that they know him. They're denying God. They're not doing what he says. They're not following him. In 1 John chapter 2, this is what John records. 1 John chapter 2, we'll start in verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Says, we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Again, we have that knowing, that doing, connected. Go with me now to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll start in the end of verse 7 is where I'd like to begin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the end of verse 7. The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have not knowing God grouped with not obeying the gospel. The inverse of that would be that knowing God is connected with obeying the gospel. Those who don't know God are together with those who do not obey the gospel. So we have knowing and doing connected. And I guess in a sense then, you would have believing and doing connected. Because of course, so many people in this world today, the religious world, will say, all you have to do is believe. But we can see in the scripture that you have knowing, you have believing, and you have doing. They're all there connected. They're all there together. What else does it mean to know Jesus Christ? It means that we should know Jesus the way that Jesus knows the Father. By obeying Him and by loving Him. By obeying Him and loving Him. Go with me to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. Let's start in verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And if we drop down to verse 31, Jesus says this, I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. That's how Jesus showed the world that he loved the Father, was by listening to him, by doing what he had sent him to do, by keeping his commandments, by doing as the Father had commanded him. That's how Jesus showed the world that he loved the Father. That's how we know that Jesus and the Father were one. We could go back to John 17, chapter 17, and read that whole chapter. We won't do that. But over and over again, we see a unity emphasized. We see that Christ is in the Father, and Christ wants us to be in Him. We should know Jesus the way that Jesus knew the Father, by obeying Him and by loving Him. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Then again, verse 31. I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. So what does it mean to know Jesus Christ? We've talked about when we know Him, we know the Father, and we know the Father, we have eternal life. We talked about that the sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they follow Him. We talked about how knowing Jesus is connected with belief, with persuasion, with conviction. We talked about how knowing Jesus is connected with doing, with keeping His commandments. And we talked about how John constantly shows us in his gospel and in his letters that we should know Jesus the way that Jesus knows the Father. Knowing Him, knowing Christ Jesus, it means that we know about Him, but it means that the things that we know about Him impacts our life and the choices that we make. It means that the things we know about Jesus, it affects the television shows we watch, it affects the movies we watch, it affects the music we listen to, rather. It means that the things that we know about Him affect the choices we make about where we go for recreation, about how we spend our free time, the kind of people we spend our time with. It means that the things that we know about Him means that it affects the kind of language we use and the words we use, how we speak. And it means that it affects and impacts the choices we make about the clothes we wear. Knowledge is essential. Knowing those things that we talked about at the very beginning of the lesson is vital. But knowledge about Christ alone is not enough. We must know Christ. So there's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Do I know Christ? Each and every one of us has to ask ourselves that. Do I know Christ? But there's really something even beyond that. Really another side of a coin, maybe, that we have to ask. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? There Paul says, you have come to know God. But then he says, or rather, to be known by God. And then if we go to Matthew 7, I suppose Todd will get to this in a few weeks, or a few months, maybe, I don't know. But Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then comes what might be the most terrifying verse in all of Scripture. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We can say that we know someone, but we don't really have a relationship. I can say that I know the president, or that I know a movie star. I can do a little bit of Googling and find out all sorts of things about them. I can find out their birthday, their favorite foods, and how tall they were, and where they were born, and who knows what. And I can say, I know them. But if you go and ask them, hey, do you know Stefan? They'll say, who? I don't know them. I don't know who you're talking about. So we have to ask ourselves, do I know Jesus Christ? But then the flip side of that coin is a question we also have to ask. Does Jesus Christ know me? It's one of the most, maybe the most important question we can ask ourselves. Does Jesus Christ know me? There might be someone here this morning who has asked themselves that question now. And they've realized, I don't know Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ doesn't know me. If you have asked yourself that question, you realize that you need to make that right, that you need to know Jesus Christ, and you that you want Jesus Christ to know you. You can obey His gospel. We talked about that in Thessalonians, that knowing and obeying, that knowing and doing, that knowing and obeying the gospel are connected. And if you want Jesus Christ to know who you are, there's water right here. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can die to sin, be raised a new person. If we can help you obey the gospel, we would love to do that. Or maybe there's someone here who is a Christian, but who needs prayers for strength, needs prayers to keep on doing, to keep on obeying, to keep on following Jesus, to keep on letting those choices that you make be impacted by what you know. If you need prayers for strength, we'd love to help you with that. But if there's anything that we can help anyone with, won't you please come while we stand and sing?